Good morning.
Good morning.
Let us bow our head and ask our Lord's blessing for this morning. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that salvation is found through faith in your only Son, Jesus Christ alone. We thank you for each one here this morning. Pray for your Holy Spirit to fill each one here this morning. May your Holy Spirit help me deliver a clear message, and may your words be spoken through me. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
This morning I'd like to speak on the passage of Exodus 31, 1 to 11. I was reading this passage in my annual reading of the Bible in a year earlier this month, and I felt the Holy Spirit calling me to speak on this passage today. This passage speaks of the spiritual gifts given to Bezaleel, Aholiab, and the artisans by God himself for the works of the tabernacle. The New Testament also teaches that God gives to each believer at least one spiritual gift to serve him and to edify other believers. I'll summarize the background of events that led to this passage of Exodus 31, 1 to 11, and then look at three lessons that we can learn from. Let us read Exodus 31, 1 to 11. And I'm reading from the New King James Version. Exodus 31, verse 1. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "See, I have called by name Bezaleel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. And I have filled him with the Spirit of God, in wisdom, in understanding, in knowledge, and in all manner of workmanship, to design artistic works, to work in gold, in silver, in bronze, in cutting jewels for setting, in carving wood, and to work in all manner of workmanship. And I indeed, I have appointed with him Aholiab, the son of Ahisamach of the tribe of Dan, and I have put wisdom in the hearts of all the gifted artisans, that they may make all that I have commanded you, the tabernacle of meeting, the ark of the testimony, and the mercy seat that is on it, and all the furniture of the tabernacle, the table and its utensils, the pure gold lampstand with all its utensils, the altar of incense, the altar of burnt offering with all its utensils, and the laver and its base, the garments of ministry, the holy garments for Aaron the priest, and the garments of his sons to minister as priest, and the anointing oil and sweet incense for the holy place, according to all that I have commanded you, they shall do." This slide on the screen shows the Bible references that I'll be using, and if you have a Bible, you may want to follow along in your Bible. Moses was on Mount Sinai with God for 40 days and 40 nights when God gave Moses the Ten Commandments written on stone tablets by God himself, along with other commands and the instructions and commands in this passage we just read, commanding Bezaleel, Aholiab, and the artisans among the Israelites who came out of Egypt to make the tabernacle, the Ark of the Covenant, the altar, the priestly garments, and other items related to the service of the tabernacle. The tabernacle was to be the focus of Israel's worship of God. In Exodus 32, Moses came down from the Mount Sinai after he was with God for 40 days and 40 nights. He was joined by Joshua, his assistant, partway down the mountain. When they got down to the bottom of the mountain, Moses saw the golden calf made by Aaron, urged by the Israelites to make gods to go before them, as they said in Exodus 32:2b. As for this Moses, the man who brought us out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him, because Moses had delayed coming down from the mountain. Moses was very angry, and he cast the tablets of the Ten Commandments out of his hands and broke them at the foot of the mountain. Moses destroyed the golden calf and disciplined the Israelites. He ground up the golden calf to powder, scattered it on water, and made the Israelites drink it. He then returned to God on Mount Sinai to intercede on behalf of the Israelites, make atonement for the sin of the Israelites. And when Moses came back down from the mountains a second time with the Ten Commandments that God wrote on the two tablets, cut out by Moses now, he repeated the commands spoken by God that we just read in Exodus 11:1-11 to the Israelites in Exodus 35:30-36:1. And this is the passage. And let's read Exodus 35:30-36:1. And Moses said to the children of Israel, "See, the Lord has called by name Bezaleel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. And he has filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom and understanding in knowledge and in all manner of workmanship, to design artistic works, to work in gold and silver and bronze, in cutting jewels for setting, in carving wood, and to work in all manner of artistic workmanship. And he has put in his heart the ability to teach in him and Aholiab, the son of Ahisamach, of the tribe of Dan. He has filled them with the skill to do all manner of work of the engraver and the designer and the tapestry maker in blue, purple, and scarlet thread, and fine linen, and of the weaver, those who do every work that those who design artistic work. And Bezaleel and Aholiab and every gifted artisan in whom the Lord has put wisdom and understanding to make how to do all the manner of work for the service of the sanctuary shall do according to all that the Lord has commanded." I am going to now give a brief summary of how the Israelites came to Egypt and the events that led to this point of God commanding Bezaleel, Aholiab, and the artisans for the works of the tabernacle. I'll be covering a lot of ground and scripture listed on this slide. Again, if you have a Bible, you may desire to follow along. Rest assured, I'll finish on time. Don't be worried, although we are covering a lot of ground here. The Israelites were the descendants of the 12 sons of Israel, or Jacob. Israel is a name given to Jacob by God when he returned from Padan Aram. Jacob and Esau were twin brothers, sons of Isaac. Isaac and Ishmael were sons of Abraham. The following is the account how the Israelites came to Egypt. Joseph was one of the 12 sons of Jacob. He was Jacob's favorite son. Jacob made a special coat of many colors for Joseph because he was his favorite son. The other brothers of Joseph were envy of Joseph because he was their father's favorite son, and also because Joseph told them of his dreams that they would be bowing down to him, i.e. Joseph's brothers would be submitting to the authority of Joseph. Out of envy, Jacob's brothers sold him as slave to the Ishmaelites when they took him to Egypt. In Egypt, Potiphar, the captain of the guard of Pharaoh of Egypt, bought Joseph from the Ishmaelites. Joseph was successful in everything that he did for Potiphar's, and Potiphar's was so pleased that he made him in charge of his house. But Potiphar's wife noticed that Joseph was a handsome young man, seduced Joseph, but Joseph, being a godly young man, would not have anything to do with her. One day when Joseph was attending to some matters for his master in the house, he and Potiphar's wife happened to be in the house alone. Potiphar's wife tried to seduce Joseph again, but Joseph ran away. While Joseph was running away, Potiphar's wife grabbed hold of his garment and falsely accused Joseph of trying to take advantage of her. Potiphar, hearing the accusation from his wife, his anger was aroused, and he threw Joseph in prison. God was with Joseph in the prison, and he was again successful in all that he did in the prison. And the keeper of the prison put him in charge of all the prisoners in the prison. Then the butler and the baker of Pharaoh were put in the same prison as Joseph because they offended the Pharaoh. And we read in Genesis 40, verse 3, that they were put in the custody in the house of the captain of the guard, in the prison, the place where Joseph was confined. And from this verse, Genesis 40, verse 3, we know that Potiphar, the captain of the guard, put Joseph actually in the prison under his own custody, perhaps knowing that Joseph was innocent, falsely accused by his wife. But he could not do anything about it because it was the words of Potiphar's wife against the words of Joseph, because there were no other witnesses at the time. With such a serious offense, accused of a slave by a wife of the high-ranking officer in Egypt, the penalty could be death. But the fact that Potiphar put him in prison to save Joseph's life tells us that perhaps Potiphar knew that Joseph was innocent. To make the story short, God gave Joseph the ability to interpret dreams, and he interpreted the dreams of the butler and the baker when they were in the prison with him. And everything happened as Joseph told the butler and the baker. The butler was restored to his former butlership position, and the baker was executed by Pharaoh. Sometime later, Pharaoh had two very troubling dreams, and none of the wise men in Egypt could interpret the dreams. The butler recalled that Joseph interpreted his dream in the prison, and all things happened according to what Joseph told him. So the butler told Pharaoh about Joseph. Pharaoh called Joseph to his presence and said to Joseph in Genesis 41:15, "I have had a dream, and there no one who can interpret it, but I have heard it said of you that you can understand a dream to interpret it." And in Genesis 41:16, so Joseph answered Pharaoh saying, "It is not in me. God will give Pharaoh an answer of peace." Joseph gave glory to God and acknowledged that it was God who gave him the understanding to interpret dreams, not himself. Joseph said to Pharaoh that his two dreams were the same. And God was telling Pharaoh that there would be seven plentiful years, followed by 7 years of severe famine. Joseph then advised Pharaoh to set a wise man over the land of Egypt and appoint officers over the land to collect and store up 1/5 of the food or produce in the land of Egypt during the 7 plentiful years as a reserve for the 7 years of famine. The advice sounded good to Pharaoh and his servants. So Pharaoh set There was no one wiser than you, Joseph. And he appointed Joseph as the governor over all of Egypt, the second in command to Pharaoh. And Pharaoh gave Joseph all authorities over all of Egypt, because everything he did, he was successful. Everything turned out as what Joseph predicted. During the 7 plentiful years, Joseph stored up food beyond measure in the storehouses in Egypt. Then the 7th years of famine came. During the 2nd year of the severe famine in the land, because there was no food or grain in the land, Jacob sent Joseph's brothers to buy grain from Egypt so they could survive. The brothers came to Egypt and came before Joseph as he was the governor of Egypt. They bowed down to Joseph, and Joseph remembered his dreams that his brothers would bow down to him. His brothers did not recognize him, as they did not expect their brother to be the governor of Egypt. Joseph tested his brothers and found out that they had repented. And he revealed his identity to his brothers, and they were reunited. Pharaoh heard about this and told Joseph to have all the households of his father Jacob to come to Egypt so that Joseph could provide for them, as 5 more years of famine were yet to come. We read from Genesis 46, 26 to 27. All the persons who went with Jacob to Egypt, who came from his body, besides Jacob's sons' wives, were 66 persons in all. And the sons of Joseph, who were born to him in Egypt, were 2 persons. All the persons of the house of Jacob who went to Egypt were 70. This is how Israel and his households came to Egypt. The Israelites, the descendants of Jacob's 12 sons, grew in number in Egypt. And we read from Exodus 1, after a long time, a new king Pharaoh came to power over Egypt, and he did not know about Joseph and what he did for Egypt. He mistreated and enslaved the Israelites. So God heard the cry of the Israelites and sent Moses to deliver the Israelites from the bondage of slavery in Egypt. I read from Exodus 3, 7 to 8. And the Lord said, and that he said to Moses, I have surely seen the oppressions of my people who are in Egypt, and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters. For I know their sorrows, so I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up from the land to a good and large land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. When God called Moses to bring his people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt, Moses felt unqualified and asked God to send someone else. We read in Exodus 3:11. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh, that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? In Exodus 4:10, then Moses said to the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither before nor since you have spoken to your servants, that I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. And in Exodus 4:13, but he said, O my Lord, please send by the hand of whomever else you may send. Send someone else. Joseph felt unqualified by the calling of God. Perhaps some of you can relate to this. I certainly can relate to this. I'm an engineer by training and worked as an engineer for 40 years before I retired. As some of you may know, engineers are generally not people of many words. They are people of very few words. It is surely God's grace that I'm standing in front of you and giving you a message of about 30 to 40 minutes today. I learned that it is God's call. If you do what God's calling you to do, God will equip you to do the work. God assured Moses that he would certainly be with him, and tell him what to do and what to say to the children of Israel. Anyhow, God sent Aaron, Moses' brother, to help Moses and to speak for Moses, and they went into Egypt together. God performed many miracles through Moses and Aaron. And after the 10 plagues to convince this new Pharaoh, a new king of Egypt, to let the Israelites leave Egypt, Pharaoh finally let them go after the 10th plague, the death of all the firstborn in Egypt. I read from Exodus 12, 29 to 30. And it came to pass at midnight that the Lord struck all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh who sat on his throne to the firstborn born of the captive who was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of livestock. So Pharaoh rose in the night, he and all his servants and all the Egyptians, and there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead. The Israelites did what was instructed by God through Moses and Aaron, taking some of the blood of a lamb, the Passover lamb, for each household, and put the blood on the two doorposts and on the lintel of the houses, where they ate the flesh of the lamb, roasted in fire and unleavened bread and with bitter herbs that night. The Lord struck down the firstborn of the Egyptians that night, but would not allow the destroyer to come into the house of the Israelites with the blood of the lamb on the lintel and on the two doorposts. None of the firstborn of Israelites were harmed. For us believers today, Jesus Christ is our Passover lamb, who shed his blood on the cross for us, so that through faith in him alone, we can have life through him, everlasting life. And this is another topic of another message at another time. I read from Exodus 12, 33 to 38. And the Egyptians urged the people that they might send them out of the land in haste, for they said, "We shall be dead." So the people took their dough before it was leavened, having their kneading bowls bound up in their clothes on their shoulders. Now the children of Israel had done according to the word of Moses, and they had asked from the Egyptians articles of silver, articles of gold, clothing, and the Lord had given the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they granted them what they requested. Thus they plundered the Egyptians. Then the children of Israel journeyed from Ramesses to Sukkoth, about 600,000 men on foot besides children. A mixed multitude went up with them also, and flocks and herds, a great deal of livestock. The Israelites were in Egypt for 430 years, Exodus 12:40. And during this time, the Israelites grew in number from 70 men to a great multitude of people. Scholars have different views regarding the 600,000 men besides women and children, as this number, counting women and children, could be up to 2 million, whether this is an actual number. Some scholars argue that this number is not a literal number, it's a symbolic one. The actual number could be a number that is much less. Anyhow, the number of Israelites grew from 70 men to a great multitude, a great number of people over this 430 years. After the Israelites came out of Egypt, Pharaoh changed his mind and pursued the Israelites to the Red Sea. And you know this story. God parted the Red Sea for the Israelites to cross over the dry land. And after the Israelites crossed over, God sent the sea back to its full depth when the Egyptians were pursuing the Israelites and overflowing and wiping out the entire army of Pharaoh. Not one of them survived. Exodus 14. After this, the Israelites came to Mount Sinai, where God gave Moses the Ten Commandments and the commands, including the commands for Bezaleel, Aholiab, and other artisans to do the works of the tabernacle. In Exodus 31:3 and Exodus 35:31, we just read. We read that God filled Bezaleel with the Spirit of God and gave him many gifts, such as designing artistic works, working in gold, silver, bronze, and wood, and other skills as well. And even the gift of teaching, Exodus 35:34. God also gave Aholiab and artisans many gifts to do the work and to design artistic works. God also provided all the materials for doing the works. In Exodus 35:21-29, we read that the Israelites willingly gave gold, silver, bronze, and other materials needed for the work of the tabernacle. They gave so freely that Moses had to restrain the people from bringing more. The Israelites gave from what they plundered the Egyptians when they came out of Egypt, as God moved the hearts of the Egyptians to give the Israelites what they asked for. God provided for all the materials required, the gold, the silver, the bronze, the acacia wood, and other materials needed for the works of the tabernacle. There are many lessons we can learn from the accounts that I just went through, but I'd like to focus on the three lessons today. First, God chose the Israelites to be his people. Second, God equipped Bezaleel, Aholiab, the artisans, to do the works. Third, God provided all the materials for the works of the tabernacle. And we'd like to look at what the New Testament teaches on these topics. God chose the Israelites to be his people. In Exodus 3:7, God called the Israelites his people. I read Exodus 3:7a, and the Lord said, "I have surely seen the oppressions of my people who are in Egypt." God has chosen the Israelites to be his chosen people, as they are the descendants of Abraham, to fulfill his unconditional covenant to Abraham. In God's unconditional covenant to Abraham, I read from Genesis 12:3b, "And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." God has always intended that all the families of the earth, i.e. all people on earth, Jews and Gentiles, will be blessed through Abraham. God chose the Israelites, descendants of Abraham, to be his chosen people, to know him. God gave the Israelites his law, commandments, so that the Israelites can be God's light to the rest of the world, and that all peoples would know the one true God and be blessed. God allowed Joseph to be sold as a slave into Egypt. And we can see that through Joseph, all of Israel and all of Egypt were blessed, surviving the 7 years of severe famine. But ultimately, all the families of earth shall be blessed was fulfilled in Jesus Christ, a descendant of Abraham, a Jew. John 4:22b, "For salvation is of the Jews." Salvation is through Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Son of Man alone. Jesus Christ is fully submitted to the will of God the Father. He came in human flesh as one of us, went willing to the Calvary cross and offered himself as the perfect sinless atoning sacrifice for the sins of the world, so that all Jews and Gentiles alike who repent of their sins and believe in him will be blessed, i.e. to receive the gift of salvation. Ephesians 1:3-7, I read, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Romans 8:29-30. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. And he who justified, these he also glorified. And John 6:37, Jesus said, all that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will by no means cast out. This raises the question that if God foreknew or chose predestined people to believe, then is there the free will of people to believe in Jesus Christ? Or does this negate anyone's responsibility to turn to Christ in faith? The Bible clearly teaches the parallel truth in God's foreknowledge of all believers, because God is all-knowing, and also the free will and responsibility of each person to believe to be saved. Acts 16:31. Believe on the Lord Christ Jesus, Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. Romans 10:9. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart the Lord Jesus, that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And in an illustration of this parallel truth is a believer ascended back to heaven's glory. On the outside of the door to heaven is a sign which says, whoever wills may enter. And after entering into heaven, there's also another sign on the back of the door which says, God chose you before the foundation of the world. God is a sovereign God. God's sovereignty, sovereign choice in eternity past, does not remove the personal responsibility to believe in Jesus Christ by each person. The principle here is God foreknew all believers, Jews and Gentiles, that he is the all-knowing God. But it is also the responsibility of each individual to repent and believe in Jesus Christ to be saved. Lesson 2. God equipped Bezaleel, Aholiab, and the artisans to do the works. God filled Bezaleel with the Spirit of God, that's the Holy Spirit, and gave Bezaleel and Aholiab and the artisans the gifts to do all the works of the tabernacle and its service. The New Testament teaches that God gives the Holy Spirit to indwell in all believers, Jews and Gentiles alike. And God gives specific spiritual gift to each believer to do God's works, to serve him and his people. Spiritual gifts are specific abilities, talents, or skills given to believers by the Holy Spirit to edify the church and fulfill God's purpose. The church is not a building, but the body of Christ, i.e. believers in Christ, with Christ being the head of the body. First Corinthians 12:27. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually. Ephesians 5:23b. Christ is the head of the church and he is the savior of the body. 1 Peter 4:10-11. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. I will not be going through the list of spiritual gifts this morning, but you can find the list of the gifts in Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, Ephesians 4, and 1 Peter 4. I would like to note that each believer has been given at least one spiritual gift from God, and we are to use the gift or gifts bestowed by God for the edification of the church. I want to stress that some people may have receive one gift, or some people may receive more gifts. As in Basileo's case, he received many gifts. He was able to do so many works for God, for the work of the tabernacle. We are to use the gifts given us now on earth, and not to put the gifts away. God equips and develops each believer to use his or her gifts. Serve our Lord Jesus Christ using the spiritual gifts for the glory of God with joy and gladness, knowing God and our Lord is with us in all things that we do for him. The principle here is God has given each believer at least one gift to edify the church, the body of Christ, for God's glory through Jesus Christ. Lesson 3. God provided all materials for the work of the tabernacle. The Israelites gave so freely of gold, silver, bronze, wood, and other materials needed for the works of the tabernacle that Jesus had to restrain the people not to bring any more. God also provided for his church, for all that is required to do his works. He provides for what we need, but not what we want. What we want isn't necessarily what we need. 2 Corinthians 9:8, and God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. Romans 8:32. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Philippians 4:19. And my God shall supply all of your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Speaking for Heather Bible Chapel, I've been serving in the leadership role here for over 20 years now. Over this time, I've seen God has always provided for the needs of this church for his works. We have ups and downs, but we are still here serving our Lord and his body after 56 years. principle, God provides abundantly to meet the needs of the body of Christ for every good work for His glory. In summary, God has chosen the Jews as His chosen people to know Him, to have His commands so that all nations of people will be blessed, to fulfill God's unconditional covenant to Abraham, the father of Israel. The promise was ultimately fulfilled in Jesus Christ, a descendant of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and David, a Jew. Jesus Christ, God the Son, came in human flesh, born of a virgin, the only perfect sinless man on earth, fully committed and submitted to God's Father's will. He went willingly to Calvary cross and offered himself to die as the perfect sinner's sacrifice for the sins of the world, as God is holy and just and could not let sin unpunished. Jesus Christ, the Passover Lamb, died for us. All who believe in Jesus Christ are blessed to receive a new spiritual life, indwell with God's Holy Spirit, and the everlasting life to be with God in eternity. God, who is all-knowing, foreknew all believers, Jews and Gentiles, His chosen peoples, before the foundation of the world. It is also the responsibility of each one to believe in Jesus Christ. God gave Bezaleel, Aholiab, and the artisans the spiritual gifts to do the works of the tabernacle. God also gives each believer the Holy Spirit to indwell in each believer, and at least one spiritual gift for the edification of the church, the body of Christ, in building up faith and following Christ to be more Christ-like. We as believers are to use the spiritual gifts for the glory of God while on earth. For the church to function well, all the believers need to exercise their spiritual gift. We're very thankful to God for many of you who are exercising your gifts here at Heather Bible Chapel, in teaching Sunday school, teaching ESL, ELL, Bible study, youth ministry, to name a few. If we don't have you to exercise your skills, the church will not function well. God provided for the Israelites with more than enough materials required for the works of the tabernacle and its service. God is faithful and will provide for the needs of His church, the body of Christ. And as I mentioned, looking back, we can see God's faithfulness over the 56 years of Heather Bible Chapel, that He has faithfully provided for the needs of this local community. If you are not a believer yet, God is calling you to repent from your sins and believe in Jesus Christ, His Son, today, and receive the blessing of having a new spiritual life, indwelled with the Holy Spirit, and the promise of everlasting life to be with God forever and ever. 2 Corinthians 6:2b, "Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we praise You. You are the all-powerful, all-knowing, all-present God. Thank You. As believers, we belong to You. We are Your children. Thank You for giving us Your Holy Spirit, indwelling in us, and the spiritual gifts to serve You and to edify the body, believers, for Your glory. May we serve with joy and gladness in our hearts. Thank you for your faithfulness in providing for the needs of your church. If there's anyone here who is not yet a believer, may our Lord God soften his or her heart to believe today and receive the blessings through faith in Jesus Christ. May the love of God, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit to be with us all. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.